Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 315, recorded on December 18th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and it's always awesome to be here.
Yeah.
Every single week.
Yeah, it's good to have you. We didn't have you last week, right?
Was it last week?
I don't know.
Or whatever. The week before.
But we're here now. Adam's not here. He's hanging out with fam, so it's just us.
Yeah.
So,
and that's okay. I mean, he has a nice family, so he should get to spend some time with them occasionally.
Very true. AirPods. Yeah. I proved you guys wrong. You guys told me that they wouldn't come out in December, and they're coming out anyway.
Okay. You get it on a technicality. because most people aren't going to see theirs until like mid-January at the earliest.
I'm hoping to see some tomorrow morning.
Okay, so if you walk into a store tomorrow morning, maybe you'll get lucky. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking this is going to be like the Apple Pencil, where Apple says, yes, we've got them and we're shipping them and they're in stores. But if you're not at a store when it opens on the day that they magically got lucky and got like three or five sets in, you're not going to see any.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm planning to be there about a half an hour before the store opens. And it seems to me, it just seems like it's silly to even be there a half an hour early.
Well,
but like you said with the Apple Pencil, if I was in the market for an Apple Pencil when that happened, I would feel silly about getting there any minutes before they opened.
Routinely. It was stupid.
Well, and you were doing it because there were other people who were also doing it, right?
Yeah.
And they were getting them. And when it came to you, they were all out. So it's, the primary difference, though, with the AirPods and the Pencil
is that it's dangerous to put the Pencil in your ear?
Well, I mean, you're not going to get anything out of it. but that's not what I was thinking. No, it missed its original target date. So I think maybe it fell off a lot of people's radars, and perhaps a lot of it shopping that would have been done, you know, for Christmas gifts and that sort of thing, that probably those people probably moved on to other things. At least
I think a lot of those people probably did. However, there's I'll call them the echo chamber group, the hardcore Apple fans that really, really want these.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be with you lining up half an hour before the store opens to see if they can get AirPods. And my guess is that Apple doesn't have enough inventory to take care of that subset of customers.
Yeah, I would guess they're probably only going to get either. What would you say? Do you think one is too low?
My guess is that they'll get like between three and five.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless it's a bigger store, and then they might get like 10 or like the flagship stores. Maybe they'll get 20.
So they'll probably get like between three and five. They're not going to get, they're either going to get the inventory they need to
meet demand.
So yeah, I pre-ordered, and by pre-ordered, I mean, you know, I ordered the day that they were announced to be on sale. I think it was just maybe a few hours later because I think it went up around 7 a.m. Pacific.
Something like that. And within an hour, they were back ordered 4 weeks.
Now they're at six. And I think I'm at the 4 week mark. Yeah. Cause it says, January 12th.
Well, if Apple can deliver on these the way they've done with other products, you'll get yours earlier than the time they quoted.
That'd be nice. I would like to take them on my trip home. I'm headed to Chicago on Tuesday, so it'd be nice to have them for that. And all right, as far
so
as,
for you, that means you're going to get them in a store if you're going to take them home on your trip.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm going to be showing up tomorrow morning.
All right, so here's my advice. When you get there, if they don't have any for you, ask them when their afternoon shipments come in.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll say, well, we just don't know. They just kind of show up. But if you get the right person and you talk to them really nice, they'll be able to tell you what the pattern is, because there will be some fluctuation or variation in when afternoon shipments show up. And there are at times surprise shipments. I've been in an Apple store when that happened. But ask them. Because if you can find out when their afternoon shipments are coming in, you can swing back by and be there when the UPS guy rolls in with a pallet of boxes.
It's like Santa.
Like Santa. And a lot of times those afternoon shipments, they don't know what they're getting until it shows up.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, just keep that in mind.
I definitely will. So as far as the delay goes, this was the Wall Street Journal, their source that they heard from thought that the issue was they wanted to make sure that there wasn't any sync issues between the two earbuds.
That's a load of crap.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And John Gruber chimed in and called BS on that as well. He pulled out two separate sources of his. And I trust Gruber's sources. And
Gruber's sources are spot on this time. And keep in mind that Apple gave out AirPods to quite a few people for testing.
There are a lot of them out there.
Media has them so they could do their product reviews. No one has ever mentioned even once a syncing issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we're talking about the audio not being in sync between one and the other earbuds. And Apple wouldn't give out these samples if there was that sort of technical issue. So he's thinking that it's a manufacturing issue, a production ramp up sort of issue.
Yeah. My guess is that it's either they just simply couldn't get the parts, or they found that production, when they scaled up to the volumes they need to have, it didn't scale up well.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not a syncing issue.
And that actually, now in retrospect, seeing those numbers immediately go up to 6 weeks, it definitely points to a production issue.
Low
volumes, yeah. So, but yeah, good luck getting in there. So they're $159. Those lucky ones who got in there and ordered in the hour or so before they started being delayed. December 21st is the delivery date. They're out to 6 weeks at this point, and yeah, like we said, they will be Apple. I believe it was Apple who confirmed that they'll be in stores starting Monday.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, I am not expecting that there will be many in stores.
Right. Do you think third parties are going to get them, like Best Buy, that sort of thing?
They're supposed to.
On the same day?
Well, I don't know if they'll get any on the same day, but Best Buy, B&H, I don't know if Target was supposed to get any, but B&H, they canceled all their pre-orders.
So that
tells me that they're not expecting to have any anytime soon.
Gotcha.
So we'll see.
And a search for AirPods on Target's website reveals nothing.
Okay. Well, there you go.
But they're
how about Best Buy?
Best Buy, it's on their website. As far as you know, it says ships by February 7th, 2017. Store pickup not available. So who knows what that means?
What that tells me is they know they're getting some, but they're not going to get enough of a quantity initially to actually send them out to stores.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. And Apple has officially stated what they're going to charge for, repairs, or replacements.
Yeah. If you lose one, it's what, $70?
If you lose
one, that's too high.
Yeah, it is 70. Yeah, lost $69 each for the AirPod. Same goes for the charging case, $69. So you get a full year of hardware support, which I believe mm-hmm. is standard on Apple stuff still. Yep. So if your battery stops working or goes below the expected performance for within the year, they'll cover that either on the charging case or on the AirPod. Out of warranty battery service is $49 each for the AirPods or for the charging case. And, that, you know what? Oh yeah. And then out of warranty service, so if it's broken or something like that, is $69 for the AirPod or the charging case. And this is all individually. It's not as if you know, the battery crapped out on my case and one of my AirPods or both of my AirPods.
So give me a whole new set for $69. Not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. At that point, you're going to want to buy a new set.
Now, if you buy an iPhone and AirPods and AppleCare at the same time, does the whole thing with Apple Care cover for accessories apply to the AirPods?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Because you can't buy Apple Care Plus for the AirPods themselves.
Right. But if Apple's doing that accessory thing, because, you know, like if you bought what do they call it? The cinema display or the Thunderbolt display when they made that. When you bought your Mac and you bought Apple Care, that was covered. Same thing with like a base station.
Right.
Well, maybe it wasn't on the displays, but like if you bought a base station, external keyboard and mouse, that stuff was all covered under your Apple Care as an accessory.
Yeah. That's a great question. I'm not sure. I'll have to remember to ask. One of the things, so I think once the release happened, then the embargo was dropped for all the journalists who got them. So they were able to put out their official reviews. And I think that the overwhelming thing, if you look at any of the reviews, the one thing they focus on is whether they fall out of the ears. You see all these people shaking their heads, jumping up and down, running around. You don't see them falling out of people's ears.
Do you think that there was a bet inside Apple about whether or not they could get all these journalists and bloggers to go into stupid gyrations on video?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, there was.
Yeah.
Someone won that bet. Yeah. Well, that's good news. And I have high hopes. You know, the ear pods fit in my ears. They just fall out quite easily. So I'm thinking I'll be in good shape for this.
Yeah. And they just don't fit my ears at all. So I haven't been all that excited to even try the AirPods on because it looks like it's the same shape as the AirPods. And the AirPods are really uncomfortable for me.
Gotcha.
So I'll stick with my, what am I using now? The Bluebirds X2?
The Jaybird X2s?
The Jaybird X2, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I use still. Those are my daily buds. But it's kind of interesting. It's the same sort of thing that happened when I decided I was going to get the Apple Watch. I suddenly compared every experience to what I was expecting when I got that. And now I'm thinking, man, it's just such a pain to have these wires connecting these things. And really, the two things that I'm looking forward to are not having to plug them in all the time because you get the charging case. The charging case is great. It actually solves both of these problems. That and you just cannot pocket the Jaybirds because of the wire.
No, you can't.
It's just a pain in the butt and it's just too unwieldy. And you also have issues with the little the bud ends coming off in your bag or that sort of thing, and it gets tangled and it's just, you know, it's not the most ideal situation, especially in light of this solution. Now, the one thing that I was put off by with the AirPods was the lack of the hardware buttons for volume control and track control. So you can do play pause by tapping, and then you can double tap to activate Siri. And I think you can change the settings to make it so double tap does a track forward. I seem to recall something. I seem to recall that. So number one, not a huge deal for me because I got my Apple Watch, and I do a lot of that through the Apple Watch. Although if I'm riding my bike, it's going to be a pain, definitely. But I think that the reason Apple didn't go with hardware buttons on there is I've used earbuds, wireless earbuds that have the buttons on the actual bud that goes in your ear, and you basically end up mildly injuring yourself by jamming the thing in your ear as you're pressing the button.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
It is not a nice experience.
Yeah. Or I could see if you're pushing buttons on the little ear thing, you have a higher likelihood of popping the whole thing out of your ear too.
Yeah, so I'm guessing they played with that and realized that it wouldn't be an enjoyable experience. So they just kind of did what Apple does and just said, we're not going to do it.
Yep, and now that I'm thinking about it, visualizing people walking around poking at their ear all the time. And sorry, I just bounced my face off the microphone. Apparently there's a microphone in front of me. Watching people jam their fingers at their ear all the time, just that's not appealing.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure there are people out there right now listening who are saying, you know, oh, this is preposterous. I can't live without the hardware controls. Well, don't. I mean, they're not for everybody. Like the Apple Watch. Yeah. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. There you go. And no one's forcing you to buy them.
Yep. But I'm looking forward to them. Let's see here. Super Mario Run came out.
Yes.
That was good times. One thing we learned about before it came out was that it requires an always on internet connection to play because Nintendo is worried about piracy.
Okay. So I've got a problem with this. Isn't this why Apple has their own DRM built into every app that you buy so that developers don't have to worry about piracy?
Yeah.
Okay, so then why should I need to have an always on internet connection to play this, especially when this is exactly the kind of game I'd want to play on an airplane?
I know. Man, it's you know, my first reaction when I saw this was, oh, it's not that big of a deal. People are, it's way overblown. It's going to be fine. You're never going to notice it. But then of course I was on a car ride 2 days ago going up into areas where there's not a lot of good cell coverage. And I was stuck at loading screens and I wanted to play Mario and it's stupid. Couldn't. And I have not yet paid my $10 for it. And, you know, that's definitely a mark against, I mean, it is a good game, but it's, you know, it's a pain point.
It's a big pain point. And I did pay the $10 to unlock the whole game, but I probably would have waited a lot longer before doing that if it wasn't for the fact that I wanted to be able to go through the whole experience with the game so I could talk about it.
Sure.
Excuse me. But the internet thing, that's a problem. I mean, I live in Boulder, and you would think Boulder would be saturated with network signals and cell signals everywhere. But it's actually a really bad place for cell phones. And that's because there are many places where there need to be towers, and the city has been very resistant to letting those go in. So, you know, I can walk like three blocks away from where I live and lose my cell signal for about two blocks.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's stupid, but even just around where I live, I am faced with limited always-on internet access. It's not always on for me.
Well,
And yet I pay $10.
I do hope they change that.
I hope they change that too.
Because the people the people who are going to be able to get around FairPlay, the DRM Apple has, they're going to be able to get around this thing too.
Yep. This isn't going to stop anyone that wasn't going to pirate anyhow. And then for the rest of us, it's just this unnecessary burden. And this is the bitter part of the game for me. The rest of it is all sweet. I really like Super Mario Run. Yeah. It's like they wrote a game with me in mind.
They really did. I mean, okay, so yeah, we should talk about the fact that it's, you know, on the surface, you hear, okay, the only control you get is you tap to make Mario jump, and that's it. And then he just goes automatically. And hearing that sounds underwhelming, but when you actually play it, it is a really good game. They executed perfectly on that concept. The graphics are great.
Yes.
The gameplay is really good. You know.
Yes. It's easy enough so that you don't get discouraged and walk away from the game, but it's also challenging enough so you're not bored. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great game. I'm really loving it. It's a lot of fun, and I like that once you've done your $10 purchase, you never have to pay for anything again. It's just $10 and you're done.
Now, when you do that $10 purchase, do you get access to? Does it kind of expand more as far as the gameplay and what you're able to do? Obviously, there are more levels, but is it all the same game mechanic over and over and over? Or does it become more challenging and interesting?
So you get, it unlocks all 24 levels in the world tour mode, which is the main thing people are going to play. It gives you 3,000 extra coins. And it gives you like 20 Toad Rally tickets, because for that mode of the game, you have to use a ticket. I'm doing air quotes. Use a ticket to get into the game. So they give you a bunch for that, and then then of course you can continue to accumulate tickets and coins just by playing the game. So then your $10 also gets you access to additional characters. But it's not like they're just suddenly there. It opens up the game so that you can win these characters. So instead of having to play as just Mario all the time, you can get Luigi and a bunch of other characters, all of whom have different skills. It changes the gameplay for you.
Can you get the does the fireball throwing Mario open up?
I'm assuming so. Okay. I haven't gotten a fire throwing Mario yet. Okay. But I really hope he's there.
Yeah. Okay. So Apple Watch stuff. There was a research note put out by IDC. What they've seen is that the Apple Watch accounts for just 5% of the entire wearables market, which is down from last year where they were at 17.5. Fitbit is number one. You got Fitbit, how do you say it? Xiaomi, Garmin, Apple's number four and Samsung is number five. So it's a decline in terms of overall wearables market, and an increase in we've seen an increase in people buying these small wearable, the fitness wearables.
Yeah. And considering the number of people that are buying those, it totally makes sense that Apple's market share would be going down. But I'm not sure if they should be compared directly.
I don't think
because,
so either.
Yeah, because you have Apple Watch, which is a smartwatch with all of these really good fitness features in it. And yeah, Pebble, well, we had Pebble up until just now, and then other smartwatches. And then you have the wearable fitness trackers, which I think is a totally different market. And of course, that market's going to be bigger. That's a much more mature market. The price points tend to be lower.
Lower price point. And it's more clear what the product is going to do for you. You're going to hand over $50 and it's going to do precisely a thing that you bought it for. It's not as
right.
nebulous.
You
want to
know how far you walked and how many steps you took.
Right.
And that's what those things do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think they should be compared. I guess it's interesting to see them compared at this point. I would say that at this point in the game, the smartwatch is still a niche thing.
Sure.
And you can kind of see, I mean, the fact that there was a lot of reluctance for even the fitness tracker to be adopted.
Yeah, that took a while. And it took Fitbit to really break that market open.
Yeah. I mean, and it is very... It's much wider now. The one thing, so I should point out that according to IDC, the shipments they believe Apple had last year were 3.9 million, and this year quarter, the third quarter, 1.1 million. So I mean, yeah. there was a drop in shipments, but then again, there was also a change in new model introduction. We got the original Apple mm-hmm. Watch in April, and then Series 2 in September.
Right. And we also have Tim Cook saying that IDC's numbers are wrong.
Right. Yeah. So according to Tim Cook, they're on track to have the best quarter. This fourth quarter would be the best quarter right. that Apple Watch has ever had.
And that would be the first full quarter of Apple Watch Series 2. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. There you go. All right, I just figured out where the comparison between fitness trackers and Apple Watch is appropriate. And this is when you're looking at the whole market. So if you're looking at smartwatches and you're looking at wearable fitness trackers, that comparison is important in the marketplace because device makers want to see what the bigger trend is. Are people still leaning more heavily towards the focused use fitness trackers, or is there a growing interest in smartwatches?
Yeah. Yeah. But and that's exactly what it's useful for.
The comparison that we're seeing right now, ooh, Apple Watch drops share. I don't see that as a valid number right now.
Yeah. And I would say,
and I'd be saying the same thing if you're talking about the Samsung Galaxy wrist exploding stalker or whatever their current thing is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty clear that the Apple Watch is still the most popular smartwatch, but smartwatches are, you know, they're still catching on, and it's odd to me. I feel like I'm one of those people who is shopping for a car and I suddenly see the car everywhere. You know, I see a lot of the Apple Watches around. And I think it's interesting when people who don't have Apple Watches, they don't notice it. And they also forget that Apple does it. And they think that people who have them probably don't like them because they don't hear about it. And you know, I've always been of the opinion that the Apple Watch is currently one of those things that if you don't think you'll get use out of it, you're not going to like it.
Right.
It's just that simple. But I do, you know, Apple Pay, you can do Apple Pay at more and more places these days. I'm using Apple Pay for almost everything that I buy. And 9 times out of 10, I get one of those, oh, that's cool. Is it the Apple Watch? How do you like it? And I'm like, yeah, I love it. It's really great. You know, I just got the new one and all that stuff, which I don't know if I mentioned. I did upgrade over Thanksgiving. I got the Series 1.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't need the GPS or the water thing, so I saved $100 or whatever. I just wanted it to be faster, and it's much nicer. For anybody who's on the original Apple Watch, it is much faster. It's totally worth the purchase. You
know, yeah, I think you just hit on a really important point for deciding which model to get. And that's, do you need the waterproof feature, and do you really need a GPS? And if the answer is no, there's no reason to buy Apple Watch Series 2, because Apple Watch Series 1 is the same thing without those two features.
And you don't get as good light. They pump more light out of the Series 2 also on the display.
Oh, the Series 1 still has the same display as the original?
Yep.
Okay, well, my guess is most people won't really care. If they're looking at the watch for those other features as a cost-saving measure, the brighter display probably is not going to be a showstopper.
Yeah, it was never one of those things where I was regularly thinking, gosh, I wish I could see this better in this type of light. It was always, gosh, I wish this was faster. I wish I wasn't standing here looking like a dum-dum waiting for my watch to load.
Yeah, and now you don't have that problem anymore.
No, not really. And the dock works much better. It, believe it or not, the dock thing, it did help a lot with the series. Well, the original one, but it didn't work as well as it does on the Series 1. So I'm very happy with it. And I, you know, it's interesting to see the slower than expected pace of adoption with smartwatches. But
I think the prices are still high enough that the average consumer is having a hard time justifying it. For people that know watches, they totally get that these are low prices. But the average consumer that's paying $25 on a digital watch at Walmart and thinking they just splurged, they're not getting why they should be spending $200, $300 on a watch.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of it will still come to what developers end up doing with it, what sorts of problems it solves. But at the same time, I haven't had a lot of big, important apps for me that are sort of watch exclusive things. It's really just the convenience factor of having a select few apps on my wrist that I can quickly glance at.
Yep. And the other thing for me is triaged notifications.
Yeah.
So I have specific notifications that show up on my watch, and everything else just stays on my iPhone. And that's been really great.
Mm-hmm. And Siri on the wrist is great too.
Yeah. Hey, so do you use your Apple Watch for workouts?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, so here's one thing that I had completely missed seeing. If you have a watch face view that has workout controls on it, you know, like the little button, you tap the little silhouette of the guy running.
Yeah.
So that you can get in to start a workout. Watch what happens to that when you're actually working out. He's animated. He's running in the little circle.
No way. That's cool.
I noticed that just the other day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to set that up. Let's see here. Okay, so there were a bunch of updates that came out.
Uh-huh.
So we got iOS 10.2, and that primarily includes the new TV app that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So that begins folding in all of the apps that you watch movies and TV on. Doesn't include Netflix, and it doesn't include... Does it include Amazon Prime?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Certainly not on Apple TV.
Right, right.
But I don't think it does on iPhone or iPad.
Okay. And it doesn't include HBO Go. It includes HBO Now.
Yeah, so if you have HBO through cable TV subscription as opposed to a standalone subscription, you don't get any HBO content in the app.
Yeah, I don't get that. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. HBO hasn't responded to my questions, so I don't know. But it's like salt in the wound. If you are looking for something that should be on HBO, like, you know, like Westworld, and you search in the app, well, it'll find Westworld for you and then tell you that you need to sign up for an HBO Go subscription.
Yeah.
Even if you have HBO Now.
Oh, so wait, I think you're flipped backwards, but yes.
Did I get it backwards? Yeah, sorry about that.
A la carte standalone HBO is the one that it shows you.
Yes, even if you're paying for HBO through a cable subscription.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, HBO has been one of those examples of a terrible user interface on the Apple TV. And that was that was the big appeal to me of the TV app is like, oh, thank God Apple's stepping back in and making these interfaces usable. But not for HBO. At least not
for HBO.
Yet.
And my guess is that the coding team that did the HBO interface is the same coding team that did the Amazon Fire Stick interface.
Mm.
Because they look pretty much the same, and they're both crap.
Okay, gotcha. So in addition, so you've also got the single sign-on feature, which is it's brand new, so there's not a lot of support for it yet. I imagine support will start rolling in and pick up momentum quickly.
You'd think... considering Apple announced this months ago, that they could have built up the momentum like over the summer. So my guess is that all the content providers, service providers that were ready to sign up have. And all the big names, so that would be like Comcast and I guess Dish isn't there. Are they? I can't remember. Anyhow, but like Comcast, they're not there. And my guess is because they don't want to be there. So Apple's going to have to keep hammering on them to try and get them on board.
Yeah, well, I would imagine they're...
I'm kind of pessimistic about this whole app, single sign-on and TV app thing right now.
About it working out?
Yeah, it just feels like these ideas that are really good on paper... and should be really good in real life, and Apple just can't get people on board.
Yeah. Okay. So there is Dish, for what it's worth. Dish and RTE are there. I imagine it was one of those things where Comcast looked over and said, "Oh, that's cute. That probably won't be a thing that really matters." And you know, we're gonna have to wait for it to pick up momentum. Although it's such an under the hood thing that you gotta wonder if it ever will.
Well, it should be an awesome thing. I mean, sign in once, and then every app on your Apple TV that links into your cable television account just works. No need to log in to anything ever again. That's an awesome thing.
Well, do you think they like the fact that we have to deal with this? I think they may be in favor of us having to, well, not having this feature, because if, you know, let's say you pay for HBO through your cable provider, and then you have an Apple TV and an iPad, and every once in a while you'll notice that's weird. There's, you know, something's gone wrong. You have to go sign in again. You have to go through the same dumb hoops and, you know, the big pain in the butt. Over and over and over, pretty regularly,
going.
And it kind of ensures that they're, you know, people aren't just giving out their passwords and everybody's piling on.
I suppose it could be something like that, but a single sign-on wouldn't change that. They could still knock people off and say, "Oh, you have to sign back in." My guess is that
it would change it, because the whole point is. You've got the single sign on, and that just kind of happens in the background for you. You don't have to worry about that. You just press okay at the very least.
Right. But okay. So if it's single sign on, then your initial sign on gets bumped, which means none of the channels work until you do single sign-on again.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So you, everything gets bumped out of the single sign-on. So yeah, you have to do single sign-on every time. Single sign-on. Whenever it decides to bump you, you have to single sign-on for everything.
Right. So yeah, so you go back into your single sign-on again, and now all your channels work again.
So this may not be a fix for anything.
It's
a fix for the first step. Guess,
yeah, I don't think the cable companies are actually being jerks in this case. Like, I don't think they're intentionally bumping everyone off. I think that they have built systems that are so crappy that they just can't keep people logged in.
Yeah, that makes sense. We got new emoji in 10.2 update. We've got better battery life, which I think is probably better. More meaningless or meaningful. And
on the emoji thing,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that standard emoji can get messed up for some people. Here's what I mean. So I sent just the regular red heart to my girlfriend, and she hasn't updated to 10.2 yet on her iPhone, and she gets black hearts, just little flat black hearts.
Oh.
Even though it's just a standard heart emoji. So some emojis that you expect to just be universal, they're not anymore.
Yeah, I noticed that this morning. I got a black heart too, and on my Mac. Updated.
Yep. And until your Mac gets an update that adds in all those new emojis, you're going to have some messed up emojis on your Mac.
No way. Huh. Okay. Well, there's
now
that.
You know.
Were there any other big things in 10.2?
Yes. The settings for what happens with live photos reverts back to Apple's factory default.
Oh, which yeah,
is
they did.
Live photos is always on.
Yeah, I was wondering why that was happening.
Yeah, so the fix is you go back into settings, you go to camera, and hold on, let me scroll down to camera, and I'll tell you exactly what the setting is called. Okay, photos and camera, and then if you scroll down to, oh, come on, which setting is it? Oh, scroll down to preserve settings, tap that, and then you need to enable live photo, which is exactly opposite of what you think you should do. But what it does is it sets the live photo button so that it preserves the setting you used last time.
Yeah.
So if you have live photo off, it remembers that it's off. So you have to turn the live photo setting on to be able to keep live photo off in the camera app. So, you know, yay, user interface design.
Cool. We also had, I mentioned the tvOS. The 10.1 update is out. You got the new TV app. Is it by default when you press the TV button, it now takes you to the TV app?
Oh, yeah, that's the default now.
Okay, so you can go back in settings and you can change that if it's starting to make you crazy. And watchOS 3.1.1 was updated. That's primarily a... was out, I should say. Under the hood fix, fixes for people.
It gives you the emojis that match iOS 10.2.
Yeah, but Apple pulled it because there were some bricking issues. I believe it was primarily on Series 2 watches. Is that correct?
Yes. And my Apple Watch Series 2 never bricked. But I'm running developer beta on my Series 2 watch. So my guess is that something got messed up when they switched it from developer beta to public release. So those of us that are running developer beta, we never saw a problem.
Yeah. Interesting.
But still, that kind of sucks for those people that thought they'd do the update. Well, and you have to carve out so much time because it takes forever to do an Apple Watch update. So what they assumed was going to be an afternoon became a multi-day event to get their watch fixed. Yay, technology.
Yeah. And I just got a message from someone who works in an Apple store. Just a picture of them with an AirPod in their ear.
All right. So we know they did arrive in the stores.
Yeah.
Now, the stores I know will have them because they have to have demo models.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they'll have any inventory to really sell.
And there are, so, I mean, people in New Zealand, that, you know, they're already arriving, and there is stock in the stores to be purchased. So,
okay. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic about availability. Maybe they'll be much easier to get a hold of.
I hope so, man. I really want them tomorrow. It'd be a good day. I'm really looking forward to seeing how well the switch off experience is, because the whole idea is, yeah, you pair it by opening the lid and it works really well. And then it's supposed to pair with everything through your iCloud account, which reminds me, I'm probably going to have to update my Mac at this point if I want to make that happiness go forward.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah. But because I don't want to have to go into Bluetooth settings anymore. The one thing I heard is that while it will be available in the source list of all of your Apple devices through the iCloud account, that excludes the Apple TV. So it looks like you're going to have to do that manually as a Bluetooth device on the Apple TV. Unconfirmed. I haven't tried that. I wonder if it's because the Apple TV is supposed to be like a non-personal device, but at the same time, you're still signed in with a single iCloud account to it. So I'm not sure.
Huh?
But I mean, I don't use my Bluetooth earbuds on my Apple TV very often. So
no, I have JBL, which model is it? It's like the Elite something. That I'm using with my Apple TV sometimes. Mm-hmm. No noticeable latency and much better audio quality than I would expect from Bluetooth headphones. So where am I going with this?
I don't know.
I know where I'm going. I get why you don't use any of your Bluetooth earbuds with your Apple TV very often, and it's because most were never designed with that in mind. But these JBL over the year Elites, they're great for that.
The one thing I'm pretty fascinated by is it does seem like, I mean, based on all the reporting, that the Bluetooth signal is being sent to both earbuds separately from one device. And it seems like that one device, whatever it is, whether it's an iPhone, a Mac, or, you know, some Android phone, is sending two simultaneous streams to the earbuds. And, you know, we really haven't seen that. There have been a few here and there Bluetooth devices that do that, but I guess that's something that's always been in the Bluetooth spec. It must have been, right? And it's just never been taken advantage.
I would assume so.
It's interesting.
My guess is that it's less expensive to send the signal to a single headphone, and if you're doing totally wireless, then use a little repeater in the one earbud to send the signal to the other.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Which, it doesn't seem to me like that would be cheaper, but what do I know? I'm not a parts buyer. But doing it where it's sending a Bluetooth signal to both ears at the same time, that seems like a much better way all the way around, because now you're probably dealing with less interference from your own head.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm looking forward to seeing how well those mics perform. Hopefully it works pretty well when I'm on my bike. I got wind noise.
That would be really cool.
Yep. Okay, so let's do some picks and then get out of here.
All right.
So what do you got?
Well, okay, so my assumption was that you'd be doing Super Mario.
Nah.
So,
because that's too obvious. Everybody knows about Super Mario.
All right, well, I picked a different app anyhow.
Okay.
And my app pick is Astra. And it's a 99-cent app for your iPhone. And what it does is it links into your Amazon Prime account exactly the same way that an Amazon Echo or Echo Dot does. So what that means is that you can use your iPhone as if it were an Echo.
Huh.
Which is really cool. And it works really well. So you can do everything with this app that you can do with an Echo, except for the audiobook playback and music streaming. So controlling devices, getting questions answered, all of that stuff totally works. And since it's on your iPhone, as opposed to being a little appliance that's sitting on the shelf in your house, it works when you are off of your local network. So I tested this just to make sure that it really did this by leaving my place, going to Starbucks. I know, total surprise. And while I'm at Starbucks, I'm issuing Alexa commands to my iPhone to turn on lights in my apartment. And then I'm using my webcam in my apartment to check and see if the lights are turning on and off. And sure enough, it totally worked. So I was able to mimic Siri functionality, you know, as far as remote control of my smart home devices for the Amazon Echo with this app. And it's called Astra.
Cool.
And it's 99 cents. There's a bunch of different Astras that show up when you do a search. So this is the one that has the purple icon with a little white waveform on it.
Yeah. And there'll be a link in the show notes. So will this work? Do you have to open the app to make it work, or can you have Siri do
something? You have to open the app to make it work.
Okay.
So it's not as transparent as using Siri, but the fact that you can open this app and then talk to it, and it works essentially the same as having an Echo or Echo Dot, is pretty fracking cool, and yeah, it's 99 cents.
Awesome. All right. Check it out. So I think my pick is going to have to be Westworld.
Oh, man.
Westworld on HBO. I actually just watched the entire series again for a second time, which if Jeff, have you finished it?
Yes, I've watched the whole series once, and I do want to watch it again because
there's a lot.
I know there's a lot that I missed. And considering the Easter eggs that I did see, yeah, I'm curious to find the ones that I missed.
It was thoroughly satisfying, 100% worth it to me to go through it again.
So, all right, so I'm going to share you two Easter eggs that are not spoilers.
Okay.
So there's one scene in one of the warehouse lab areas, like a storage area. Mm-hmm. And if you look really close in the background, you will see the robot that was the gunslinger from the Westworld movie from the 1970s.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I missed it the first time through, but I saw it the second time.
And I'm pretty sure that the rattlesnake that they interact with in the TV series, in one episode, in one scene, is supposed to be an homage to the rattlesnake they dealt with in the movie.
Okay, cool.
There's enough similarities there that it feels like a little hat tip to that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So check it out. And if you're going to watch it, Jeff, if you're going to watch it again, I would recommend watching it with somebody who hasn't seen it yet. It makes it more fun.
All right.
It makes it fun because you're just going to be sitting there. It'll be really hard to not like point things out, but at the same time, you're going to say like, "Ooh, who's this person? What are they talking about?" And, you know, tease them.
I'm going to get hit.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
But it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
I love that show. Oh my God. Westworld is fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, tell a friend, all that stuff. Send your feedback if you have any feedback for the show. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. And I get all those emails. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday. Check that podcast out. And at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. It's fun, even when Adam's not here, although I do miss him.
Yeah, we heard from him earlier because I kept calling him accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, and he was all, "Why are you bothering me?"
And there was like a party going on in the background.
Right.
Yeah, so he'll probably be back next. I'm going to try to get a show in. Ah, crap, I'm leaving. It's going to be a while. This is going to be like a week and a half from now. I just realized because I'm going to be traveling, and I don't think the show is going to happen. It's going to be, yeah, maybe next Wednesday we'll shoot for something like that. I don't want to be too big of a gap.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Michael Johnston. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator.
How are we going to communicate this?
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?
Oh, a stylus, right?